So our next segment features local artist Barry Hyman, who is live here in our studio. I was going to write, you live here in our studio. I didn't think that was correct. But Barry has had a prolific career mixing music and politics and concerts and recordings and on the radio. Welcome, Barry.
Hello. Thanks for having me here.
So why don't we start off, how did you get started in music?
Oh, my father was a big influence. He was a blues collector, and he had me listening to the blues from when I was very young. I started playing guitar when I was 12, which was 54 years ago. And politics, too, I think a lot of it came from my father. The civil rights movement was, and Vietnam was my childhood. And that's what, and it made me into who I am, I think, you know.
I'm going to jump in here. So if you came of age during the Vietnam War, who were some of the musicians you were following, you know, at that point to develop your career?
Oh, I liked the folk rockers, the soft rock, the Birds and the Flying Burrito Brothers. I started playing pedal steel guitar back then, and I've always had a kind of split between wanting to play white music or bluegrass or country, but also I play a lot of black music, you know, in those days R&B, but then I got into reggae and Afropop. And this is part of what I wanted to try and explain, because it is hard to explain the connection between music and activism. But I think the common ground is healthcare. They're both kind of public health. Preventing war or avoiding war is a number one public health priority. And then preserving the environment is number two. And the kind of music that I do and the kind of the way that I teach music is just another side of that. I'm trying to do on an individual level or a group level if I perform the kind of therapy that might make people less likely to vote for Trump and Netanyahu. To me, I see the connection between music and activism as they're both a kind of music works on the individual to try and decompress them or get them unrepressed or liberated from the cultural malaise. And that's and at the same time, I have lyrics that are overtly political, but sometimes it's very subtle.
You know, probably the audience has gathered that you've brought your guitar. And so if you were given 3 or so minutes to perform something, what would you perform? And please demonstrate.
Well, let me just say before I start, I appreciate that. I came here actually partly to promote a band that I play in with some guys from Ghana called the Dread Resistors. And we're playing just down the road from here at the Rustic Barn Pub on Route 40 on June 1st, starting at 8 p.m., and the sad part is that me with my guitar here by myself sounds nothing like the Dread Resistors. The drummer and percussionist and keyboard player, as I said, are all from Ghana. And the bass player and I, we do reggae, world fusion, Latin stuff, Afropop, Caribbean. Whereas what I'm going to do is just do something on the guitar that's more meditational, shall we say. But do come out to the Rustic Barn Pub June 1st, please.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So you mentioned you came of age during with peace songs during the Vietnam War, which was sort of a, you know, the counterculture of the 60s. And unfortunately, our country pretty much has been at war ever since. And of course, we got Iran and Afghanistan or Iraq. How has the music changed to reflect the sort of the current wars that we're engaged in?
Well, I haven't changed. I'm still writing protest songs. They're kind of in the reggae format rather than the folky format usually. But what's changed is the world and the platforms that are available. This is much appreciated, but as you know as well as I do, that the media in this country is generally controlled, and protest songs don't get airplay. It's a quick answer. They don't want young people to know the history or the situation. They don't want young people to know what's going on in Israel. They don't want people speaking out. And it's the internet, of course, anyone can say anything, but that means that a lot of the protest speech on the internet or the music on the internet doesn't really get heard by that many people. There's so many voices that the good voices, in my opinion, get drowned out often. I don't hear earth-shaking protest songs that everyone can unite, that 100,000 people are singing together at a demonstration. I'd love to write one. I'm working on that. But it's very hard now to call out the people. There are, the militarized police are they don't like that.
Okay, you're performing at the Rustic Barn Pub in North Troy, I guess way out there just before the border.
Yeah, it's 4 miles north of Hoosick Street on Route 40.
Okay, and what will you be doing with whom? You've already said your group, the Dread Resistors.
Yeah, the Dread Resistors is a band we formed in the end of 2015 when I was first introduced. The bass player is one of my old students from 15 years ago, and he introduced me to the drummer, who's from Ghana, and then I met his friends. And what's funny about it is that a lot of the material we're doing is songs that I wrote decades ago, protest songs. I always wanted to have this band, but I didn't. I'm one guy with a guitar trying to get the Bob Marley spirit or the Fela protest songs kind of spirit. And I've had band after band attempting to get that sound. But this is the Dread Resistors is kind of my dream come true. These guys can play any genre, but most of what we do is reggae and Ghanaian high life.
You know, I was just thinking I've had, radio shows and other radio stations, and so one of the guys I used to play a lot was Michael Frante, and he does a lot of revolutionary-type music. Not that he ever made it really big, but he was a little bit more perhaps played than some of the other artists. I don't know, has doing the protest songs, hinder or help your career? Or is it your career?
I guess my number one career is as a music teacher, a music therapist. Performing is never a way to make a living, at least it hasn't been for me. I don't want to tour, and I don't, it's a very small amount of money to perform the kind of local gigs that I do. But again, I do it out of a community spirit and trying to spread the joy and spread the love, get people dancing. The Dread Resistors, the idea that this is black people and white people, immigrants and local boys, several different religions involved, that's what we should be doing. That's how we all can hopefully counteract the age of Trump and spread some good cheer, bring America back to being a civilized nation. That's the goal, I think.
So we have about 2 minutes left. I don't know if you want to give us 2 minutes of a song or tell people want to find out more about your music. You have like a website or something?
Oh, yeah, you can go to barryhyman.com, or I have a lot of music, a lot of recordings up on SoundCloud, too, soundcloud.com/Barry Hyman. I've got stuff up on YouTube. I just something just got put up on YouTube that has my sitar playing, actually a bass sitar, the surbahar. guy named Steve Gillette, who's a well-known songwriter. He made a little video. I did the soundtrack. So I'm always doing things. I'm always putting out underground recordings. There are a lot of them on the internet. I've been doing that for 50 years. I'll just sing you a couple verses of one of the songs, but you come June 1st and check it out with the band, because I don't have the percussionist here, but... I'm lost in Babylon, and I can't find a way. I am lost in Babylon, and I can't find a way. It's the police and the military blocking the way. It's the police and the military blocking the way. Got no justice, they've got no reason, they've got no sanity, and they have got no reason, 'cause they're lost in Babylon, they don't know the way. We're all lost in Babylon, and we can't find a way. That's the short version, the short nervous version.
Okay, well, time is just about up. Thank you, Barry, for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it a lot.